Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome and happy Sunday. Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. I am Carl Nordgren. I sure appreciate you coming to listen to the show that's designed to help you develop, discover, create your own understanding of what it means to be creative, because your own understanding is the understanding that's going to serve you best. So I don't define creativity. I urge you to create your own understanding of creativity, and the show, I hope, is helping you do that. I'm very excited about a new opportunity here at 97.9 The Hill, the best radio station in the state, and that is I'm talking with station management about doing a second show, and that second show might be a one-off, it might be a one and only, and it will be a two-hour music show of the music that I enjoy listening to. I'll be the producer and the disc jockey, I guess. I'll be providing that for you, and I think it'll be in the next couple of weeks. I'll let you know as it gets closer. And with that in mind, I'm imagining, I decided to have today's show be about music, and specifically about the effects that music have on the listener, and more specifically still, the effects that music has on the listener in nurturing and cultivating their creative qualities. And there's a lot of research on this, a whole lot of research. Some of it kind of contradicts each other, but I'm going to share that, and I'm going to share some other research findings with you at all here today. So let's start with the idea that you are intentionally focused on listening, right? It's not background noise, background sound. You are intentionally focusing. You're intentionally focusing on it. What happens when you intentionally listen to music is immediate effect. There's an immediate effect, especially when you're listening to happy music. You get very, very good at divergent thinking. Let's pause for a moment and talk about what divergent thinking is. I'm also going to talk about convergent thinking in a moment. I call them divergent discovery, because that's the kind of thinking you're doing in divergent thinking. And I call it convergent creation, because that's the kind of thinking you're doing when you are engaged in that convergent thinking activity. So when you are listening to happy music, your divergent discovery, your ability to see lots of ideas, lots of options, lots of solutions for your problem, lots of directions for your opportunity, lots of categories of options, not just all different shades of blue, but there's a blue category and a red category and a green category. You want to have a really good idea, have lots of ideas. And so your divergent discovery skills are important for you in that fashion. And happy music improves your divergent discovery, and immediately so, right away when you're listening to it. And it broadens your attention. Listening to happy music expands your attention, and so you just see more opportunity, research will show us. Background music has a different impact. Background music, if it's low complexity, right? No lyric and low complexity in the background, there is some measurable positive effect. Not a lot, but there is some measurable positive effect to have background music of a low complexity. High complexity with lyrics, boy, you're just, if you're listening, you're just not going to be able to get much done. It distracts, especially distracts you from your convergent creation, right? You're focusing now. You've come up with a whole lot of really good ideas, and now you're trying to figure out how you're going to bring those ideas together, and you're going to associate them and mash them and combine them. And now this is the thing that you're going to do. If there's high complexity music in the background with lyrics, it's very likely that you're too distracted to be very effective at this convergent discovery process that's so important. Again, that's where you're bringing all your ideas together into the thing that you're going to do. There's a good latency effect, right? An after effect. It stays with you for a while. And one of the ways to benefit, and research have found this to be so, one of the ways to benefit from this latency effect is to listen before, right? You know you're going to go into what, a brainstorming session or your own work, your own creative work. Listen before. Listen before the task, but not during. And in brainstorming in particular is where the researchers focus themselves. And those folks who listened to music before they went into the brainstorming session had more ideas, more original ideas than folks who didn't listen to music going into the brainstorming session. So you're interested in idea generation? Man, you want some upbeat music. You want to get into deep, deep focus on the work that you're doing? That'll happen best when there's silence, there's no music at all. You want some long-term benefit, right? Not just here in the moment, but you want to build and cultivate your creative abilities over time. Boy, the research shows that you can accomplish that if your playlist is diverse, right? If you listen to classical and you listen to country, you listen to jazz and you listen to hip hop, you listen to rock and you listen to folk ballads, right? The more different sorts of music that you listen to, the more different styles, the more your creative cognitive flexibility is enhanced when you are listening over time to diverse types of music. And so that's a first little set. Now, a little bit that kind of, again, might contradict, because we were talking so much about the positive effects of happy music. There's also a significant impact that occurs when one is listening to sad or melancholic music. I've listened to sad music all my life. My wife, for a whole lot of years, was just fascinated over the fact that my record choice, my music choice, usually has a whole lot of melancholy, sad songs on it. And so when you're listening to melancholic music, it brings us inward. We go into ourselves when we're listening to sad music. Happy music takes us out of ourselves, out into the world. Sad music brings us into ourselves, and it sparks our intuitive thinking. And you want to get into your intuitive mind. In the moment that it takes your conscious mind to process 50 bits of information, your subconscious intuitive mind is processing 50 million bits of information. Well, so the sad music getting you into yourself engages that subconscious creative process. It's better at inducing sudden insights, that aha moment, right? When you're listening to sad music and you're deep into your subconscious and there's processing taking place and you're not aware of it until you're aware of it, and aha, the moment occurs. And that will happen more frequently listening to sad music. There's an emotional depth that occurs listening to sad music. And I'll pick up the rest of the benefits of listening to sad music, folks, when you come back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks so much for coming back. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius. In the first segment, I introduced that this show today is about listening to music and the really, really powerful, sometimes even profound impact on your creative processing, your creative nurturing when you listen to music. I was just talking about listening to sad music, to music that has a melancholy to it, my favorite music. And so this music brings us inward. Happy music takes us out. This music brings us in. And we get into our intuitive mind, and that intuitive mind is so powerful. 50 million bits of information your subconscious intuitive mind can process in the time it takes your conscious mind to process 50 bits of information. So you're better at inducing sudden insight when you are engaged listening to melancholic, sad music. That aha moment where all of a sudden something that's been processing in your subconscious, some association, some mashup, all of a sudden emerges as an idea, and aha, comes into your conscious mind, and you're now aware of it. There's a greater emotional depth that you experience when you're listening to sad, melancholic music, and that induces, this emotional depth also induces mind wandering, right? A sense of detachment, which leads you to new perspectives, right? If you're wandering in your to think something else, well, you're thinking of something else, which means you're thinking differently, which means you're viewing things differently. So you develop a sense of detachment with sad music. And it likely, frequently, with a lot of research supporting this, induces a state of daydreaming, which is sort of, I guess, like mind wandering, isn't it? A state of daydreaming, where you're in your subconscious, and you're solving problems. I love this, right? When you're solving problems that you're not even aware of when you're in your subconscious, because it takes you into this state of a depth and emotional depth, and you're better at solving problems coming out of that emotional depth. So let's compare and contrast sad versus happy music in terms of its impact on your creative performance. Happy music, it motivates broad flexibility. It helps you be broadly flexible, but it also has sort of a shallowness to the idea generation, right? You get flexible when you're listening to happy music, and you can successfully generate ideas, but it doesn't seem to be quite the font of idea generation that you get when you listen to sad music, where it deepens your thinking, it gets you into your intuitive mind, it invites unique and often unconventional combinations of ideas to create something original. So happy music, good flexibility, takes you out of yourself into sort of a shallow idea generation phase. Sad music deepens your thinking, takes you deep into yourself where you're more likely to come up with unconventional ideas. How important is music to us? I just find this fascinating, folks. Our brains are so in tune with music that the auditory cortex, right, the place in our brains that processes sound, the auditory cortex is tonotopically, I've never said that word out loud before, tonotopically organized, tones topically organized. The notes that you're listening to activate very specific places on that cortex, the auditory cortex. When you're listening to music, it activates very specific areas on your auditory cortex, and those areas are organized just about like piano keys are. So we've got piano keys mapped on our brain so that if somebody's watching your brain while you're listening to music, they can tell what notes you're listening to, what tones that music is communicating to you based on their identification of them only as they show up in your brain imaging. Now, this isn't precise. I bet you nobody would be surprised to know that this isn't precise, this mapping of keys on our brains. For instance, a middle C on a piano and a middle C on a violin, so timbre makes a difference, right? They overlap, though. They do overlap. The piano C overlaps with the violin C in terms of where it's recorded, where it shows up on our auditory cortex. So our brains are so attuned to music that our brains are attuned to music, right? That our brains are a musical reading device. Over time, it was so important for us to distinguish between various sounds, right? A bird happy sound, a bird scared sound. And so sound was such an incredibly important input for us understanding the world around us that our brains have just become these super sophisticated sound registering sound recording devices, and so sophisticated, again, I just find this so amazing, that your auditory cortex is organized like the notes on a piano. If you're listening to somebody playing a C, a neuroscientist could read your brain and just decide, oh, she's listening to music that started with a note with the middle C. So, gosh, that's so cool. So let's double back on some of this, because in the third segment, we're going to talk about some exercises. So when you intentionally listen to music, you get positive impacts. If it's happy music, that you're intentionally listening to, it broadens your attention and improves your divergent discovery skills. If you're listening to music in the background, it better be not very complex. It better not have any lyrics to it, because then you get some measurable positive effect from that background music. But if it is highly complex, if there are lyrics, it's just going to distract. It's going to distract you, and especially it will distract you if this is the moment where you're trying to bring all your good ideas together into one idea. It's going to especially be distractive of your convergent creative abilities. There's a latency effect. Let's conclude this episode with this one. If you're going to go into a big brainstorming session, you're going to go somewhere where people are going to need your great ideas, listen to music before you go, because there is a latency effect. If you listen to music before you get into that brainstorming session, you will deliver more ideas. You'll deliver more original ideas. So this station does a great job of bringing music into our lives. Thank you, WCHL, for doing that. And come on back from the break, folks.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thank you for coming back. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius. In the first two segments, we talked about the wonderful impact that listening to music has on our lives, on our creative lives in particular. You know, we're better thinkers, we're more creative thinkers when we've listened to music. I think that's so cool. So now let's conclude with some tips, some creativity tips, tips to help you also become more creative, not just by listening to music. I've shared this one with you before. Research out of the University of Munich. This is so easy to do, folks. This is so easy to do. Research out of the University of Munich was testing the impact of color on creative performance. They created four very distinct creative exercises. Most research just uses one creative activity for their measurement of in their research. They did four very different creative exercises, very different creative cognitions needed for each of them. They brought in the test group. You know how that works. They laid down the baseline score. One group of participants came and looked at blue, another at red, another at yellow, another at gray. When they then took the four-part creativity test, they had no change in their scores relative to the baseline group. The people who stared at green for 30 seconds had a 25% improvement in their creative performance over those four exercises. 25%. If you're a Carolina student, doesn't that take your B- to an A+ to get that kind of lift? So speaking of green and speaking of music and speaking of sad music, folks, go listen to Green by Joni Mitchell. It's on her Blue album. I'm confident that it's one of the very best albums I've ever listened to, her Blue album, start to finish, nothing but great songs. But the song Green, about a woman who leaves her child for adoption, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful sad song, and it's called Green, and it's by Joni Mitchell. That will help you be creative. Research out of Stanford shows that when you are taking a walk, when you get to your natural stride taking a walk, the two hemispheres of your brains integrate, and that's how you get into your most creative mind, is when the two hemispheres are working together. The logical is playing with the nonlinear. The analytical is dancing with the intuitive. And that's what begins to happen when you take a walk, also with a little bit of latency effect. Looks like it's about 15 minutes that you need to be walking before you really start to experience most of this, much of this, but you get this great benefit when you take a walk. Your two hemispheres integrate. The final project or creative activity I'd urge you to get engaged in, again, I've talked about this once or twice, and that is for you to commit yourself to doing a 30-day, one day a month, a 30-day creative action program. That creative action program I shortened to the acronym CAP, a 30-day CAP. And I've not, however, ever suggested the following. The 30-day CAP is when every day for 30 days you do one of two things. You either do something you've never done before, or you do something that you do regularly, habitually, but in a whole new fashion. Let's bring music into this, folks. I'll bet you there's a whole lot of genres, a whole lot of styles of music that you've never listened to before. So talk about killing a whole lot of birds with one stone. If during your 30-day CAP you were to make it an intentional commitment on your part that you're going to search out new genres. I started listening for one of my days for my 30-day CAP. I was listening to French love songs. I had never listened to a French love song before. I went out and picked it out and listened to that as one day of my 30-day CAP. Do you listen to opera? Find an aria and listen to that aria. Every day for 30 days, you do something you've never done before, or you do something you do habitually in a whole new fashion. Let's stay with that one for a moment. I don't have any musical ideas for you there, but if you brush your teeth right-handed and you're doing a 30-day CAP, today brush your teeth left-handed, and you've got that day covered. You don't have to do anything more than that. Just do something contrary to what you've been doing. Or, like I said before, find something totally new to do. Listen to music you've never listened to before. Maybe listen to music that you've never listened to before while you are also doing something else you've never done before. Like maybe listen to that French love song while you create a fancy French meal. So 30-day CAP, for 30 days you do something that you've never done before, or you do a thing that you do habitually in a whole new fashion. I sleep with my head on the north side of the bed. Tonight I'm going to sleep with my head on the south side of the bed. Many of these examples don't take any time, right? Just thoughtfulness on your part. Just thoughtfulness on your part. When you do a 30-day CAP, what you're doing is you're kicking the status quo in the butt just a little bit every day, right? Just a little bit every day. And the accumulative effect is to have a significant impact on your capture by the status quo, such that your divergent discovery abilities just soar. When you do a 30-day CAP, your convergent creation abilities also have a nice pickup. So, folks, thanks for listening. I'm going to give you some more information about a music show I'll be doing soon for you all. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.